I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, this is Strange Jason from 6 Foot Plus. You're listening to See You Next Wednesday from ModernSuperior.com.
Hello, welcome to episode 97 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, January 22nd, 2014, and my name is Dan Gorman, folk music historian.
My name is Casey Lyons. Miss Lemon, I know Scottie Pippen. I own a Fuddruckers with Scottie Pippen, and you, sir, look like Scottie Pippen.
I'm Greg LeGros, and can we stop at my place? I forgot to put on deodorant and a jacket and one of my socks. And also, I have to poop, but I can do that anywhere.
Oh, hello. Almost at 100.
Yeah, oh, my God.
97. Holy shit.
It's crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
I don't believe it.
Super crazy.
Almost 2 years.
I know.
Yeah. Been 2 years in February.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Coming up.
Yep.
Are you guys going to buy me something?
I already bought you something.
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait.
I
deserve so much.
Yeah, I got you a boot to the face.
That's what I deserve. So.
A boot to the head.
That sounds a boot, right?
Yes.
Oh, nailed it.
God, I'm clever. Oh,
this is what golly. You can expect if you're a first-time listener.
Yep. 200 in, and it's as good as ever.
Some half-assed frantics quotes.
Yeah. We have Film Roulette coming up later. We're talking about Jack Ryan, Shadow into Darkness, Stevens. But Casey watched Killing Season at home on Netflix and made Greg and I listen to R. Kelly, and then we'll roll for next week's movies, and then we're going to get into some serial swap hero madness. At the end of the show, we're going to have lots off the top this week.
Yeah.
Tons. It's Oscar season, which means lots of movies are available to steal, which means none of us did that, I'm sure.
No, fuck that.
We have lots of movies to talk about off the top.
Yeah. Legitimately paid for.
I went to the damn theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did too.
Oh, so did I, actually.
Yeah.
I finally saw Inside Llewyn Davis. Finally saw inside
awesome.
Him.
What'd you see in there?
So many things. I saw so many reflections of myself.
some guts, some blood.
Yeah. Some ennui.
Yeah. That's a fine motion picture.
Yeah, man. Fuck the Oscars.
Yeah.
I don't want to boycott because that seems like putting too fine a point on it, but. Yeah. But
it's up for, is it up for original screenplay at least? It
must be. No.
It's not even.
No, it's up for.
Just straight across the board.
Yeah, it's up for
nothing.
Two. Actually, maybe it is up for.
How is it not
it
up for.
It did get two nominations.
How's it not up for best song for Please, Mr. Kennedy?
It's not eligible.
Oh, really?
No, because I read an article about it because I can't remember the specifics, but it's like based upon some, like they didn't use, like they based it upon something, so then there weren't
what,
eligible.
What, Fare Thee Well? Because Fare Thee Well is based on like a traditional folk song,
yeah,
which I think Bob Dylan wrote.
I think Please Mr. Kennedy was a similar thing. It's not like a cover, but it's like because it is almost adapted or something.
Yeah.
There's something, some weird technicality that makes it not eligible.
Right.
Which
they always pull that shit in with the music. That's why Johnny Greenwood didn't get nominated for the score for There Will Be Blood.
Yeah. But
he
used that. Well, he used that score apparently, or elements from that score. He himself used elements of that score for something else.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah,
it was in the fucking
it's
movie.
It's his fucking score.
It's his, and it was in the damn movie.
Yeah.
Inside Llewyn Davis was nominated for sound mixing and cinematography.
Well, yeah, cinematography was wonderful. Obviously. Let's just give that to Roger Deakins every year, whether he does something or not.
Well, he did Prisoners this year.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
Which was fucking
beautiful.
Phenomenally shot film.
Gorgeous.
So, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I saw Wolf of Wall Street, finally, which, I don't know, maybe the best biopic I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
It's, holy shit, 3 hours of, and I was just rapt the whole time.
Yeah. No shit, you're the first person I've really heard say that.
Yeah.
Everyone's been kind of mixed or uneven about it, you know?
Yeah, and, and I just found it, like I thought fucking Leonardo DiCaprio was amazing.
Yeah.
I definitely think that that Jonah Hill should have been nominated, which he was, nominated for Best Supporting.
No kidding.
Absolutely. He is fucking amazing. Everything about this movie is fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll check it out.
I guess my issue with it, as I said to Casey via text this week after he saw it, was just I thought that I didn't think that the length added to the end game. Like, I think, like, I loved the final shot. I loved where it ended, and I just kind of felt like a lot of it in the middle was a little, like, it's pretty repetitive. Like, it's just a lot of the same kind of stuff. I didn't think that, like, I get that, like, if you enjoy the world, you want to stay there for 3 hours. Like, that's totally fine. But I just felt like, for me, I was kind of like, you didn't really add any depth. I didn't feel like it was enriched by me spending that much time in there.
I just
kind of felt like it was dragging your nose through it to get to the end. And then it was like, that would have been just as good if it was 90 minutes.
Yeah, like, and I guess I understand what you're saying, but, like, I feel like sometimes the length of a movie is integral in that it puts you in that world for so long that when something goes wrong, like at the end when everything starts to unravel, you kind of go like because, like, for 2 hours of the movie, everything is great for them because they love drugs and hookers so much. So you live in that world for so long that you start to go like, they'll never die.
Yeah.
They are truly immortal.
Yeah.
And then when things do finally start to unravel, then you've been living in that world for so long that you're like, oh shit, like shit just got very real.
Yeah. I think there's also maybe a case to be made for narrative excess matching the character's excess. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there's probably a case to be made for that as well. I don't know.
Yeah,
it
just shoves that. It shoves coke covered titties in your face for 2 hours.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. It wasn't.
I'm gonna watch it.
You
so
should
then
see it.
I'll decide which of you is right and which is dead.
Which is dead.
Oh, I hope it's not me.
I know. Yeah.
But yeah, totally loved it. Thought it was great. And again, I did watch it at home through completely legal means.
Right.
I can't stress that enough.
You dialed up Scorsese.
I torrented it from the most legal torrent site.
You said, hey, listen, Marty, come on, man.
Yeah.
I got a whole day. I want to watch a movie.
I talked to M. Scorse.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I get a screener off your shit? And he's like, yeah.
Hey, Marty, yes, come on.
Come on, buddy. Help a brother out, why don't you? All right, so yeah, so I watched that. I watched Joe Swanberg's Drinking Buddies.
I've been meaning to see Drinking Buddies.
Oh, how is that?
Oh, man, is it good.
No shit.
It is. It's.
I want to see it.
It's this kind of love story for friends who love each other in many ways. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's so great, though.
Yeah.
Nice.
He actually did another. He's done like a bunch of movies this year. Like, he's already, I think he's already done one since that.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. But anyway.
But just, yeah, like everything. And it's not one of those, it's not one of those love stories that goes, here's your happy ending or here's your weirdly ambiguous ending. It just, everything happens as it should.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that.
Aliens ending, that's out.
There's aliens.
That's always my favorite twist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out they've all been dead for 30 years. So.
The brewery is...
is purgatory.
Is purgatory.
Saw that. I finally saw Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh.
Which I'd never seen before, which I thought was just fucking great.
Yeah.
Just another great movie.
I still haven't seen it.
Super entertaining. Oh, really? Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, man.
De
Niro is finally awake in a movie.
He's
trying.
And having emotions.
Yeah, I thought he was great in it. I really liked De Niro in it.
It made me remember why I fucking love Chris Tucker, too. Chris Tucker's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, he's great in it. And that was the point where I came around on Bradley Cooper. I was just like,
he's
you know, when
I
he's in a good movie with a good script or a good director or hopefully a combination of those things, He's great. He just, I think it looks like he's starting to make better choices now, because there, you know, when he was Hangover Guy and doing like, Limitless and a bunch of shit.
He did that movie that I had to see where he was the writer that stole the magical
The
words.
Just right. Terrible. Like, don't do that shit. Yeah. Like, you've got your Oscar nominations now. You can just do, you know, you can pick and choose. You're going to be fine, kid.
Yeah.
And it seems like he has been. Like, hooking up with David O. Russell is very good for him.
Sure.
His work and, like, I don't think he should have been nominated for American Hustle. I think he should have been nominated for supporting actor for Place Beyond the Pines.
Oh, shit, yeah.
If you're going to nominate him this year for something, that's the fucking thing you do. And I like that he's stepping into these roles and stuff. And, like, yeah, I can get behind Bradley Cooper.
I bet Bradley Cooper's a giant asshole. I bet that's why he works well with David O. Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, they just call each other, like, assholes all day and scream at each other.
They film a scene. They have a fist fight.
Yeah.
They film another scene.
That clip of him on the set of I Heart Huckabees, like, resurfaced after all the nominations. And I was kind of like, I don't know. It was interesting to see it resurface because a lot of people were treating it. I mean, not like, I don't want to be an asshole, be like, oh, we all knew that already. But it was just kind of like, yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah.
Like, we know it. Like, he fucking tried to punch like George Clooney or George Clooney punched him or whatever on Three Kings.
Yeah.
And then, like every movie, it's like something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But every once in a while, you need a reminder that people in Hollywood are fundamentally broken.
That's true. Yeah.
But keep it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're watching.
Yeah.
I also saw The Spectacular Now. I watched that last night.
Which I've been you're just like rattling off movies that I've been meaning to watch. Mm.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk makes an appearance in that, right?
He does, and he's like a very, very small appearance, but he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Same with Kyle Chandler. He's in there super briefly, but fantastic. It starts out like it's a high school kind of drama. But it's not for high school kids. I mean, it is, but it isn't. And the main kid is a high school kid. And so immediately I'm like, I fucking hate this guy. I don't care about your fucking problems, high school kid. Meh, I'm in high school. Meh. But by the end, I'm like, this kid's phenomenal. Like, that kid is going to fucking go somewhere.
As an actor. That kid's going to grow up and do something in this film.
Like, buddy, you're going to be all right. But the reason I watched it, actually, was because I heard... you know about this Emil Hirsch, John Belushi biopic?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. And they've cast the
main guy in Spectacular Now, Miles Teller, as Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
And,
see, I haven't liked this Miles Teller in anything. He was the lead in that, or one of the leads in that 21 and Over I had to watch because I lost the dice roll.
He was in Project X.
And Project X, which I guess
Footloose.
Isn't that the same thing?
And I just can't stand his little face.
Oh, dude, I get it.
He's like, so, like, when he's, like, he's...
At the very beginning, it's just like, oh, my God, you smarmy little piece of shit.
Yeah.
But towards the end, man, like, you just go, oh, okay, I get what's happening here.
Yeah,
like, this kid's got range.
So what do you think of him playing Aykroyd now?
I like it.
Yeah?
I think he's going to be great.
I think
he's going to fucking
kill it. I don't
think
they should
be making a Belushi movie. Oh, no. I think the whole thing is a bad idea.
Emil Hirsch as Belushi is like... Are you eating, kid?
Because
you better be eating. You're not.
You better eat some little chocolate donuts.
Yeah.
Sweet reference. I'm very happy with
very
myself.
Good. Nice.
I think if there's somebody, like, I feel like Emil Hirsch is one of those actors who has been in really good in some stuff, but he's
for
the
sure.
kind of actor that, like, I feel like he would eat. Like, he is probably going to do, like, a reverse Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like he's someone who's kind of hungry in the sense of for his career, but also in the sense for this role, I guess. Like, I feel like he would, in a way, to have something to prove, be like, I'm going to fucking disappear into this.
Sorry.
They've already made Wired with Michael Chiklis.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah. Clearly, the bar is set high.
Yeah. I was reading about that recently.
I saw that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not good.
Have we talked about this biopic, this Belushi thing on the show before?
I haven't really heard too much about it.
Oh, no?
Because,
I feel like this is going to be like, you know when Heath Ledger, everyone's like, oh, he's a Joker. And you're oh, fuck off. No way. And then it's like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing.
Right.
Like, I feel like...
It's going to be one of those moments.
It's going to be one of those where it's like, this guy has to be good.
He's not a terrible actor. I just think he just seems wrong for it. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone should be playing a comic genius. you know, because you have to be a comic genius to have to sell it, right?
Dustin Hoffman killed it in the fucking Lenny Bruce biopic. Yeah. So
Dustin Hoffman's funny, though. I don't know.
And finally, sorry, just one more thing, and then I will stop talking for the next hour. I started watching Spoils of Babylon, which is the Funny or Die.
Yeah.
It's sort of a spoof of like the Thorn Birds or like Lonesome Dove, those big, huge, epic miniseries they used to do
it's
back in the early
80s. It's being purported to be like based, it's like based upon the novel by like the fictional character.
By
whatever,
a character, Eric Jeanrache or something, who's played by Will Ferrell. Sorry to let the cat out of the bag on that.
Oh, no.
Because they're really playing it up like he's like this real, you know, genius writer thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very funny for a Funny or Die thing.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't stretch too far out of bounds of what they do. It's very silly. And
is it an online thing or can you watch it on TV?
I think it was on TV.
Okay.
I don't know. I acquired it legally.
Yeah.
Again. and I also started...
We're going to jail for this episode.
Yeah, because the FBI have... They're very, very...
They're big fans of us.
Our Twitter's been very active lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With some count called Not FBI 69.
Flowers by Irene.
Yeah.
So I watched that. Oh, and I started watching House of Lies, which I'll report more back on. But as it stands right now, it's like, you know how when you watched Entourage, it's like, this show's not that great, but it's super entertaining to watch this world.
I've always wanted to just because of Benny Schwartz.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Benny Schwartz and House of Pies.
Yeah. yeah.
But it's super entertaining. Like, you just want to devour it. It's not going to change your life or anything, but Don Cheadle's fucking amazing. Yeah. And it's got enough little plot points that are kind of like, oh, that's interesting. I've never seen that in a show before.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, Ben Schwartz is fucking awesome on it.
Yeah. So he's awesome and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
All right, I'm going to take a nap. You guys take over from here.
Wake up when we're done, buddy.
Yeah.
Wake up when we're at Grandma's house.
Cal, honey, put your shoes on. We're at Grandma's.
Yeah, I have a couple things I won't spend a lot of time on. I was sick, so I watched some Netflix picks.
Oh, and, sick. I thought you said I was six. It was
I was
the summer
six.
Of,
Listen, guys, I'm not going to
talk for too long, but let me take you back in time.
Yeah, so there it is. I'm 6 years old.
It's 1994.
Yeah. I'm 6 years old. I turn on the TV, and what do I see? Muppet Babies. And I'm like, oh, my God. They made the Muppet small.
good contribution, buddy.
Yeah. I was sick a bit over the weekend, and I had some Netflix time. So I watched a couple movies. I watched a movie called Plus One, which is, speaking of Project X, it starts as this Project X-esque
okay,
party movie.
Project X or Monkey Project X?
Party.
Okay.
Not Monkey. Not not Matthew Broderick Project X. No, the
no
one with what's
flying
his face.
Planes? Or...
No. Spoiler.
I'm gonna take a nap with Casey.
Yeah.
He finished the story.
Yeah. But I saw the trailer for this and it looked really interesting. It's like I said, it's called Plus One. It's like about a big high school party, like over the top, like Project X, like way bigger than any real high school party has ever been or will be. There's like a fucking stage and fucking strippers and stuff, like just super crazy over the top. But a meteor kind of like lands at the beginning of the movie, and so the first chunk of the film is these kids dealing with like their stupid high school problems. Like this guy kisses some girl in front of his girlfriend and she's like she wants to break up with him, and you're kind of just like, okay, this is just about like high school kids. But because of the meteor landing, they all start seeing their doubles, and it turns into like a science fiction movie, and it starts to get really, really cool. It almost starts to be about like they don't know what these doubles are going to do, if they're evil or not, and the doubles are actually like looping around, kind of, so like the doubles disappear and then come back again, but they're like closer in time, and they don't know what's going to happen when like the time overlaps and they exist at the same place at the same time.
Right.
And it starts to be like really cool and actually have like some sophisticated undertones. Like it's kind of about like leaving high school and having to like kill your old self because you get like a new start after high school, and then it just shits the bed at the end of the movie.
Oh,
and I was just like, what a bummer. Like it was a really cool movie, almost interesting, almost had like really interesting stuff to say about like youth underneath it, but then it kind of becomes really stupid, and the lead character is kind of a douchebag, and like he doesn't really do anything, and the ending of his character is like really shitty. I was kind of bummed out, but yeah, it's kind of, I would say, worth a watch if you want to see something that tries to do something fresh. Well, yeah, like, well, I felt like I had to give it props because, like, yeah, you know, you did a high school movie that it wasn't really like anything I'd seen before, mixing it with the science fiction kind of like Night of the Creeps style meteor thing, but doing it in like a Twilight Zone-y thing. But then, yeah, just kind of a letdown at the end. But I feel like some people might find some worth in it if you stream it up on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then I also put on a documentary on a whim called Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Have you seen that pop up?
I haven't, but it's sitting in my queue.
Yeah. It is fucking great.
Oh, right on.
I really liked it. And I don't know much about like sports or wrestling as like a fucking like career, like an industry or whatever, but really, really interesting look into a really weird period of the 80s where, you know, like all of a sudden women's wrestling wasn't really a thing, and then it was, and this oddball show that just let them do like sketches and like comedy, and they like rapped, and then they also wrestled and stuff. Just like
also wrestling.
Yeah. and it's really, really fun and entertaining, and then it gets pretty emotional at the end. It really surprised me.
Awesome.
It's a great pick for Netflix, like if you're just sitting around the weekend, you don't want to like think too hard, but you want to be entertained and have like a little bit of a thoughtful, emotional ending. I would really recommend it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely gotta see it.
It's really good. I
love watching chicks wail on each other. So, you know.
It's pretty. There's one part of the movie where this one woman injures her arm and like pops the bone, like the bone pops out.
Oh,
like
gross.
Not through the skin or anything, but it was like holy shit. It was gross. Fucked.
Yeah.
And then my last thing is I went on last Thursday and saw a screening of Abel Ferreira's Miss 45.
Oh, I had no idea that was Abel Ferreira.
Yeah, which is like a rape revenge movie from the 80s. And it was the last screening of it. And I was like, you know, I got to go see this because I've never seen it. And I haven't seen too many of his movies, but those that I have, like the original Bad Lieutenant, I fucking loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I went and saw it. And holy fuck, is that movie awesome!
Sweet.
It is incredible. Yeah, it is probably one of the best of those revenge type exploitation movies that I've seen.
Nice.
It has a really, really like definitive, not message, but like it reminded me a lot of Taxi Driver, Mean Streets era Scorsese. Like,
oh, okay.
Like
cool.
It's really, really gritty and like street level, but it also has a point. It's not just like here's a rape revenge movie. It kind of seems to have like something driving it,
yeah,
and it's super wild and crazy, and
sweet.
Yeah, I would super recommend it. It's awesome. That's about what I've got.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some stuff in the movie theater.
Some stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is my quick one. I saw Her finally, and just what a spectacular movie.
Yeah,
I just loved it. I loved it. Just about everything about it. The performances were outstanding. The script is great and inventive and really funny.
Yeah,
and sad as shit.
Yeah, top 10.
Yeah, possibly. But this is why I've been holding off on finishing my end of the year list for both movies and music, just to make sure I'm not missing something.
Yeah.
So I'm scrambling to get all these movies in. We watched so many movies for this show, but I'm still like.
Wait,
five movies behind.
Yeah.
I gotta catch all this shit to make sure I'm not fucking
the
list up.
Well, yeah,
because
we watched a lot of really shitty movies.
Yeah,
yeah, terrible stuff. But yeah, just fantastic. Joaquin Phoenix is so great in it. Scarlett Johansson is
she's fantastic,
unbelievable. I liked virtually everything about it. And then at home, now here's where I watched some stuff that wasn't so good.
Oh wait, sorry, just one very quick thing.
Yeah,
that I wanted to mention when we talked about Her. You know the little character?
Yeah, yeah.
That's Spike Jonze.
Yeah.
No shit.
He does the voice of that.
That's great.
Profane little guy.
I loved that fucking thing.
Totally.
So good.
Yeah, she's fat. Pretty great.
So I finally saw something that I had been like, well, not like waiting to see, but I was like, when this rolls around in front of me, I'll watch it. Because I'm
movies
curious
roll
about
around
it.
In front of you.
No, just like I'm not going to seek this out, but when it winds up on Netflix, I'm watching it.
Okay,
and sure enough, it did. 2 years later or whatever, I finally saw that remake, companion piece, prequel to The Thing.
Okay,
yeah,
I saw that thing in theaters.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
I didn't do that because I was really mad that they were making it. As I get very offended with remakes, particularly when it's one of my John Carpenter's thing is in my top 10 all time, I'd say. Yeah. And so I was really, I just tried to ignore it and pretend it wasn't happening. Like I was going to Freddy Krueger it, like, I don't believe in you.
Yeah.
And then it'll just disappear.
It would become sparkly and disappear.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing with the Belushi movie too. Like, nothing's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it did what I was hoping it would do, is like, just be middling and disappear.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, I don't want this thing to taint the legacy of this great cult classic. Anyway, which it did. It just came and went and no one really thought about it again.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll check it out because I love that movie so much and here it is in front of me. And now it's just awful.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
It's just...
I really didn't like it
no,
at the time.
No, it's just terrible. I mean, it has people in it I like. Like, I really like Joel Edgerton. He's a great actor.
Yeah, isn't Mary Elizabeth Winstead in that, too?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know anyone's name in it. But it's okay. Now, I like that if... Because, you know, one of the best things about The Thing is the mystery of the Norwegian camp. Like, what the fuck happened over there? She is in it.
Did
she play the lead?
I believe that so, yes.
I didn't really know her, so... Yeah, okay. Anyway, the whole mystery of the Norwegian camp and what went down is so creepy and unnerving that, that's an okay thing to go make a movie about.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, when you're going to go do that, don't just make the same movie. Because it has, like, plot point for plot point, all these, the same things happen.
Well, I feel like that was the intention. Like, they were like, we want it to be a remake, sort of like a remake, but also
But it ends with the beginning of the 82 movie, which is the only thing that's worthwhile. I was like, oh,
I just feel like that was a stylistic choice that is a stupid choice, no question.
It's like a reboot make-quel. It's like they just do it all.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's like it's a remake, it's a reboot, it's a sequel.
And the fact that everything happens in the same, like, Joel Edgerton is clearly the Kurt Russell character, but they were like, we don't want to make him the lead and put that kind of pressure on him, so we're going to make the girl the lead. Oh, there's also no women in John Carpenter's, so they have the new character, and she's the focus.
You know, I thought Wilford
Brimley
was the Wilford Brimley.
She's the one who figures it all out and whatever. But like right down to the scene where, like, because Joel Edgerton's a pilot and he's a little edgy and he's got a beard and the big parka and he disappears with Buddy and he comes back and they don't believe him. And the whole fucking flamethrower sequence happens and then we're going to do a blood test. And that, obviously, somebody's, oh no, surprises. One of them's the thing.
Yeah.
So with all this shit happening, and then it ends with the beginning of John Carpenter's The Thing with the dog running to the American camp and the helicopter chasing it. So if you're The Thing, you're the dog now, and like you get away from those guys and get to the American camp, and the exact same thing happens. You got to be like, what is with this planet? Like, it's just so predictable. The same guy is at every
thing. Is like, I'm bored now. This is too easy.
Yeah.
Just a shame. Just a shame of a movie.
It is, and I feel like I remember some positive reaction to it when it came out, and I remember thinking, like, after I saw it, I was just like, that's just because you walked out with the beginning of the good movie, in your mind. Because at the end of the movie,
they play the music.
Yeah,
there was elements
where I was like, okay, you know, like, you're making a movie and you're kind of echoing that, like, the ending. I remember just being like, you're echoing, like, what was good about John Carpenter's, and I feel like it let a lot of people out of the theater being like, The Thing. I love that movie.
That was really good. I like The Thing.
I just remembered, like, the CGI. There's a lot of, like, gross.
So,
like,
much
just
CGI,
so much CGI.
And a couple of things where I was like, oh, they're going to, nope, CGI.
Yeah,
that's things gross. Were,
yeah, I don't know. And, like,
especially, like,
things
those...
looking wacky. Like, I felt like some of it looked like Resident Evil to me.
Totally.
And the way they moved. Like, everything's so fast.
Yeah.
Like, they could run like a turkey down the hallway. It's just terrible.
Yeah. It was, it was just
turkey.
Really...
I don't know why that sounds bad to you.
I got chased by a turkey once when I was a kid, and it was terrifying.
Well, there you go, exactly.
So this wasn't terrifying, so it was a bad example.
It's just one of those, like, it just seems so muddled as a concept. Like, just, okay, so you're calling it The Thing, so you're not distancing yourself from the original, but you are saying it's a prequel, but all the same things are happening. Just reeked of, like, a bunch of creative types being like, we'll do, like, a prequel, and then the studio being like, but not too much of a... don't get too far from the material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a bummer. What a piece of
shit. Super bummer.
Yeah, stop doing this. then the other thing I watched that I... is. Okay, I started watching a TV show.
Okay.
Kevin Bacon, The Following.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh.
So I've seen the first four episodes. And I think anyone who's been listening for a while knows I like trashy television and this kind of thing, particularly with this ongoing storyline.
Yeah.
Standalone things kind of lose my interest. So I fell off like Blacklist and crap like that. Like, yeah, give me a full story and figure it out for me. Let's go. Whodunits. So this, Kevin Bacon's really good on this show. And I like serial killer shit. And the whole concept is Kevin Bacon is a former FBI agent who caught a serial killer, got injured in the process, but put the guy away.
Yeah.
The guy was this super intelligent professor at some university. I think they're in Boston. I don't know. Anyway, and he teaches a class on Poe, on Edgar Allan Poe. And he incorporated that into his murders.
Went
all Poe-esque. And so now it's 10 years later. Kevin Bacon's not in the FBI anymore. Because of his injury, he has to have a pacemaker because he was stabbed very severely in the chest by the killer when he caught him. But the killer escapes and kills the last girl that Kevin Bacon saved, and then just lets himself get caught, and they put him in jail. But then some people, he has like developed all these followers online. So he's like got this whole cult of, because there's like over 300 active serial killers in the United States on any given day. And so he's, you know, through his charisma, through the internet, internet chat rooms, is like,
it's like gotta like taught
these people how
right?
to be, Which I'm like, okay, well that's cool because it could be all over the place and anywhere. Yeah. However,
actually, that's fantastic.
Sure, but however, all it turns out to be is like these three people that we're stuck on, and it's so boring. So it's like these two guys who are pretending to be gay to live next door to the girl that the serial killer wanted to break out and kill.
Right.
And they lived next door for like 3 years, pretending to be this gay couple. And then the serial killer has a wife and a child, and he had this other person he's brainwashed move in as their nanny. So then it all culminates in his big plan. And the two gay guys are like, we're not gay, we're kidnapping you, bro. And and then the nanny girl steals the baby. And the whole thing is the serial killer is like, because he wrote a book that was not received well before he was a murderer. And he's like, this is my new book, and you're the main character, Kevin Bacon. You're the anti-hero or whatever.
Sorry.
Casey almost choked.
Why did he call him Kevin?
I don't remember his name in the show. And but then like I'm like, okay, I'll go with this, fine. But they spent all these episodes where now the two pretend gay guys and the nanny are all with the kid at this cottage, and the kid's like, you know, 9 or something, and the one gay guy, the one pretend gay guy, is now actually in love with the other pretend gay guy, but that guy is in love with the nanny girl. And they're both mad at the one guy because they find out that he's been lying. He's never killed anyone. He just really wants to be part of this because they're all killers, right? So now they're like, they've kidnapped a girl and they're in the basement.
Like
they're
Dawson's
trying to learn, like, kill her,
something.
That girl in the basement. And he keeps on trying to set her free. And then they all have a shower together. It's really weird. It's there are all of these convoluted, crazy things going on. Like Kevin Bacon's got a relationship with the serial killer's ex-wife.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. There's just so much happening that doesn't make any sense. But Kevin Bacon is awesome in it.
This is it sounds like Prison Break.
It's totally bananas. Like, yeah, all these weird, fucking stupid things are going on. But yeah, I totally enjoyed and hated it. 8 out of 10.
Yeah. My mom and dad watched The Following like a lot. Like, like me and my brother will give them lots of shows to watch, and my mom likes specifically like murder mysteries and stuff.
Yeah,
right. And so we'll usually give her like ones that are super good, and so, like The Killing or The
Sorry,
Fall.
I just watched season one of The Fall last night.
Yeah,
the whole
it's amazing.
It's so fucking good.
Gillian Anderson's incredible.
Pressuring me to watch it, and I finally watched it.
Yeah, so I showed
the whole thing.
First season to my mom of The Fall, and she really liked that. So she likes like really like interesting, you know, like murder mysteries, but then she's also like really like she really likes The Fall, and so she's always talking about like the Fall, like the Following. I mean, and she's just always talking about that. It just seems so weird. I'm like, isn't that garbage?
It's total garbage, but it's fascinating. I'm definitely watching the rest of this.
Yeah.
But, now The Fall is really fantastic.
The Fall's amazing.
It's a British show starring Gillian Anderson, who does a very fine British accent. And it's a cop serial killer story, but pretty unique in its delivery.
Yeah.
I don't really want to say too much about it except watch it.
Yeah.
It's on the Flix?
It is on the Netflix.
It's on one of the,
it's on a few regions. I think it's on Ireland and UK and United States.
Yeah, not Canadian. Cool. But
not Canadian, no. Nothing good is there.
It's awesome.
I highly recommend
it. It's amazing. Yeah, I can't wait for the next season.
I don't know why it took so long to get around to watching it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check that out. I mean, I'm going to be done House of Pies by tonight, so maybe I'll jump on
it. It's only 5 episodes, too.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it's British, right? Just get to
I got the attention span for that.
Yeah. I did 4 episodes in a row last night. Just couldn't stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, that following is... holy... Jesus.
Yeah.
You going to keep watching?
Yo, fuck yeah. I got to know. I'm this far in. And there's only like 15 episodes in the first season, and the second one just started. So, yeah, I'm watching this thing.
All right.
Yeah. I'll report back here and there. This won't be a full Prison Break corner because there's not that much.
Right.
And I don't want to ruin the whole show for people.
Yeah, it's too new.
But whatever. I don't know. Season one is like a year and a half old, you know?
Pretty much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
If you slept on it, fuck you. I'm telling you what happened.
Yeah, listeners.
This is your warning.
You pieces of shit.
You fucking idiots. Here's your warning. You got a week. I'm going to watch 4 or 5 more episodes.
All right. Fair enough.
So, yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Sweet.
Trashy TV.
Yeah.
Romantic movies.
Yeah.
Should we head over to...
One quick thing I wanted to bring up real quick. The Paul Verhoeven retrospective starts on Friday, the 24th. It starts with a film called Business is Business, which is Paul Verhoeven's cheerfully smutty episodic sex comedy.
Oh.
So that's
yeah.
That's why you're going to see that movie.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to throw up a review of that. Hopefully I'll get that up by tomorrow.
You're just gonna barf it up.
I'm gonna vomit forth a review on that.
And I'm excited about those screenings.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
they're
starting
the TIFF.
Yeah, the whole thing starts on the 24th on Friday. So
get your ass
tickets.
Do it
to Mars.
Get your ass to Mars,
aka TIFF Bell Lightbox. If you can't make it to Mars,
if you can't get to Mars. They're probably not even showing it on Mars anyway.
I know.
So probably just go to
Bell Lightbox.
Yep.
Wicked. Options. And go to modernspear.com. There's lots of written content up there right now. Mm-hmm. So before we get to Film Roulette, yeah, do that.
Yeah, do that.
Sweet.
Come on.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, should we go?
Let's go.
Down
Let's
the
go.
Corner okay. to Film Roulette. Bye. Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good or one of the biggest blockbuster releases of the week. This week, Greg and I went and saw Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, and the loser has to go see something that looks like shit. There wasn't much out in theaters, so we made Casey watch Killing Season on Netflix. But the loser gets to give the winners an album to listen to. Last week, Casey gave Greg and I an R. Kelly album to listen to, and that's how we play. And we'll be rolling for next week's movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Greg and I went into the theaters, saw Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit. This is directed by Kenneth Branagh, stars Chris Pine, Kevin Costner, Keira Knightley. What would you call this? A reboot? Is this like a fresh start?
Yeah, definitely a reboot because we got young Jack Ryan getting his entrance into the CIA, and this is the first of the Jack Ryan movie that's not based on an actual Tom Clancy novel.
Yeah,
just inspired by characters.
Yeah, and I was kind of going into this. I saw that it got like a lot of middling reviews.
Yeah,
and I was kind of thinking about the whole like fresh start thing, and I went in with low expectations, kind of thinking like, you know what, why not? Just if you're not gonna base it off a book, just fucking make a new character out of it. I don't know. I'm not the kind of person that's like was offended by it. I know a lot of people were like, fuck that,
Yeah. And I get that.
I can understand.
I'm not passionate about the Jack Ryan series.
Yeah.
Nor
am I.
I think that's maybe why
I really like two of the movies. Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games.
Yeah.
Which I always want to call Hunger Games for some reason.
They're great flicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And then it just started getting worse. The Ben Affleck one was really bad.
Yeah.
Some of all fears.
That was kind of why I was like, they haven't been making like good ones lately, so
no,
why
no.
not like try like a fresh angle on it? I don't
guess
know.
That's what they're doing, but they're really... Okay, I did not like this.
Okay. I liked it for a period.
Yeah, okay, there's some...
I was really on board for this movie for the first like hour because it just opens up and it just purports to be like... a political thriller. Like, everybody was saying, oh, this movie's boring, there's no action. And so for the first hour, I was like, I don't need action. This is a political thriller, but it's a stupid one.
I thought Well, the action was the problem and got in the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, okay, here's what's wrong with this movie. If you're going to reboot the character, then fully reboot him, but don't keep the same fundamentals of the old character. I liked that they I was kind of interested in the beginning because they start with a helicopter crash, which has been talked about in, like that was a big thing in the original books and movies, was that Jack Ryan was in a helicopter crash and had to, it took him a year to relearn how to walk.
Yeah.
And that's cool. And I was like, oh, they're going to start right there. That's cool. So we'll have this, because what works with this franchise and this character is the fragility of him not being a soldier.
Yeah.
That he is just an analyst. And that's what, and you put him in these situations where he's not supposed to be.
And
he has to think his way out, not fight his way out.
And it is that for quite a while.
Yeah. You set that up, and then the first instance of action, he turns into fucking James Bond.
Yeah.
And he's dodging bullets and fucking, he jumps and hiding in the ceiling and strangling people with his thighs and shit, and guys and shit. It's fucking retarded.
The first action scene I was okay with because I liked it as a scene. And then there's a later scene where they do like a spy infiltration scene. Yeah. And I was like, okay, you know, so far not a ton of action. So I'm still kind of like on board with maybe that first scene being like adrenaline or something. But then, the movie really takes a turn in the middle of the movie. All of a sudden there's this big car chase, which is fucking useless.
Yeah, boring.
They turn fucking Keira Knightley into like damsel in distress for one scene for no reason.
Yep.
And then let her go again. And it's just
Kenneth Branagh's character is just the worst villain ever.
You know,
just so easily duped by everything. Like the most obvious smokescreen ever. He's just like, I'm eating it up.
I enjoyed it. Like I said, like for the first hour I liked it almost for its faults. Like, I was like, this wants to be like a Paramount 70s style political thriller, but it's dumb. And I kind of like that because Kenneth Branagh, the bad guy, is like I'm going to crash the stock market through Russia or whatever. Yeah. It's like,
this is a great idea.
It's a cool idea, but it's also like the way they played it was also kind of stupid, but I liked how big and crazy it was. Just like, okay, this is what we're in for.
Sure, but I thought that was a pretty cool, and I liked to explain what was going on in the middle of the movie. Kevin Costner is talking with Chris Pine. He's like, okay, so tell me your theory. What's going on here? And he does. And he's like, okay, now tell me like I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Now tell me again like I'm an idiot and I need you to speak really slow. Yeah.
Now
let's make sure the audience knows what's happening here.
Yeah, right. But tell me again like I'm in a movie theater watching this happening.
And I've only been
tell me again like I'm one
attention.
Of these.
Yeah. Why don't you catch me up here?
Yeah.
I just couldn't get into it at any point because I was like, oh, that's a good idea and stuff like that. But I just... It was bothersome to me because I've seen the other movies or I'm aware of the character, and they are too. This is a problem that they're aware of the original Jack Ryan character. And in Hunt for Red October, he's trying to work his way into the action because he believes he's right, and everyone's like, you don't belong here, you're just an analyst.
Yeah, right.
This one, they're like, here's a gun, get in there, and he's like, I'm just an analyst. And they're like, we don't care.
Yeah.
He should not be the person in there. At no point was it believable to me that he was the one they should put in any middle of anything.
Yeah.
They have his report, they have his idea. Send soldiers there. This is possibly the end of the United States. Don't send the guy who's never seen any action, has been working undercover in a bank for 10 years.
I agree.
That's so fucking stupid.
I went along with it, though, when it was like they were... Because, I mean, obviously it's super dumb, but they were just like, you know, he was there not for action, and I guess... I don't know. Like, there was a... Like, for the first hour, again, I felt like this movie was leading up to... You know, being more of a game of wits than it is an action movie. Like the whole getting into Kenneth Branagh's, like they need to get data off his computer.
Yeah.
And so they have this big kind of like spy movie, like heist scene, which I thought was fun. I mean, it was dumb and it was the most easy thing for them to do.
Easy
I mean, they just go
shit.
Like, whoop, 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 we're in.
Pickpocket, done.
Yeah, I know. But I was kind of like, oh, I like this. It's more about, you know, one-ing up each other and stuff. And I thought the movie was kind of going to continue on that way. But then, it all of a sudden it turns into this action movie and he's literally Jason Bourne. Like, I was fine with it earlier in the one scene, but
and the villain is just so stupid.
I liked how stupid he was.
He's insanely stupid. They meet and they like exchange whatever, and Chris Pine walks away, and Branagh's character's like, in Russian, he's dangerous. Mm-hmm. but not so dangerous that I won't go have dinner with him and his wife right now and leave my whole thing exposed. And then when it's going on, he's not, he doesn't clue in at any point. Like, oh, this guy who's clearly from the States.
Totally.
We tried to kill already and because that was his henchman that tried to kill him.
I know.
In the hotel.
And he's like, I don't know where that henchman
and
is.
He's like, oh, he's clearly pretending to be drunk. Might as well send him on his way and I'll stay here and be distracted by Keira Knightley's terrible acting. She was so bad.
He really takes a dive, I thought.
She's no good at acting.
No, she's the worst.
And I feel like that whole scene with her being captured was like a desperate attempt to be like, oh no, we need our bad guy to be, like, we need to make him all of a sudden seem like he's a good bad guy. So we'll have him, like, take the woman and try to make her eat a light bulb. He puts like he puts like a fluorescent.
I faded out there for a second. I came back briefly when you said something about going to dinner and exposing his thing, and then
he puts a light bulb in her mouth, and he's gonna like crush the light bulb in her mouth because there's a specific thing about fluorescent light bulbs, like eating away the skin in your mouth or something.
Yeah. Okay.
It's weird because it does reek as like, okay, now he needs to be an evil guy, so we'll you know, it's just like, oh, we'll have this car chase that will be inconsequential for the rest of the movie.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah. I don't know. I was like, I wasn't like, this is the worst movie ever. And I thought that the direction was fine.
Of scenes, like, if you're not paying attention to
what's going
performances
on.
Performances or story or dialogue, it looks right.
if you don't care about performances, story, or dialogue, this is the movie for you.
Well, I don't know. I didn't hate Keira Knightley. I don't think that she's great, but she didn't grate on me. I think
with her, it was just... I don't know. She's poorly written.
Yeah,
the character.
She's not great as a character.
And the delivery of lines, she just smiled through everything. Like, I don't know why you would, if you've been in a relationship and known someone for 10 years, and then you surprise them in Russia and find out they're in the CIA and he's got a gun and stuff, why would you be like, oh, this is going to be fun. Let's go on this little ruse with the crazy murdering Russian bad guys. I'm into that. I'm just a nurse, but I can talk. And then CIA is like, get in there. It's going to be fine. Yeah, we'll send the doctor and the analyst to take down,
I thought, Russia. Chris Pine was a good pick to do it, but I felt they borne him up. They give him too much
shit. He should not be this. That's why, that's why it worked for all these movies and he kept on doing it, is because even in the crappy Ben Affleck one, they knew not to make him an action star.
Yeah.
He's trying to think it through. And it's his brains against the military's brawn.
Yeah.
He's trying to wedge that in between to think before you strike. And that's what makes those movies so good, is the threat. The threat is always there. And it's just like, if we push too hard, they're going to push back.
Yeah.
We have to think our way through the middle. And that's the crux of these movies.
Totally.
They don't do that fucking at all. It's just like, we're going to pickpocket and we're going to fucking pretend we're drunk.
I feel like it was leading up to it, and I felt like that's what I liked about the beginning. I felt like it was passable entertainment for a chunk of the film, and then it really did lose me about halfway through. Like, I felt like going into it, everybody was saying it was boring, and I came out of it with the exact opposite reaction. I was like, there was too much action.
Absolutely.
There was like, I don't understand who was saying these reviews that I saw, like, oh, boring. Like, I was just like, that was too action, too much action.
I will
for this
be
movie.
Stunned if this reboot creates sequels.
It didn't do well at the box office.
No.
People don't
good.
Really
I don't
want
think,
this movie. From
I don't think we're going
to
see Chris Pine return as Jack Ryan. And it's not his fault.
You know what? I'm disappointed about that. I feel like there is a movie here that could have been good. It just seems like the script. I mean, David Koepp or whatever his name is wrote this script, who did like Jurassic Park, worked for Spielberg a lot.
Yep.
And it does reek of like that. It's the wrong creative team behind. Like, I mean, yeah. I liked the look of it. I liked most of the people in it. I thought Kenneth Branagh was not good. He's just like really over the top with a garbage accent, but I kind of liked it. I was just like, you're eating up scenes, whatever.
Directs a fine picture. Things look right. They move nicely.
I like his style. Like, I feel like he's a pretty malleable director right
for
now.
Sure.
Like with Thor, I really liked. And I like. Yeah. I thought this was a good balance of not too shaky. He pulls it back sometimes.
Yeah.
But when it did get kind of Bourne style, it does go too far. But I don't know. It's I'm bummed because I wasn't super excited for it, but I see the kernel of an idea that could have been an interesting reboot.
The threat that they present in this movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really unnerving, and they just don't sell it right.
No.
And you have the dumbest villain I've seen in a major motion picture.
He really doesn't do much of anything for a long period
except
of time.
Get fooled by everything. It's the fucking worst, man.
It's totally true.
Yeah. Oh, and then just feel so awkward for the climax. We're like, no, it's this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all, and it was, and again, a fucking like all of a sudden Jack Ryan's like running down like fucking police trucks.
Yeah. And
like
he's jumping through the
jumping
air.
Through
I'm gonna
air.
Attack this truck.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why? It's really, really fucking wrong choice of a
this
final
was wholly unpleasant
two acts. Yeah.
Yeah. Did not. I was like from the get go. I was kind of out. Not the get go. I was sold until that first fight when he gets to Russia and he turns into Jason Bourne.
Okay, I was okay
like,
with
no,
that.
What
as
do
I
you
said.
Do? It felt so out of place and
yeah. I didn't
it
wasn't
mind even that. A fun action scene. It was just like check it out. He can fucking do some shit.
Yeah,
but this guy is twice his size and has a gun. He's unarmed.
I like that it was it was kind of uncomfortable. I feel like because he had like military training, I felt like I liked that it was kind of uncomfortably military esque, like the way that he. Killed this guy with like his foot on his neck. I kind of bought that scene, and then it didn't have another action scene for a while, so I was kind of like, okay, you know, I'll let it pass for this one scene,
like,
but then it just continued
like,
to happen.
Military training and fostering it and using it,
yeah,
absolutely. Being trained over 10 years ago, and then now we're doing a desk job for a decade, and
definitely.
You have a severe back injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stupid. Like, I was like totally on board with like this is a dumb. Like, I'm gonna go with it. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was disappointed.
Yeah,
I wasn't. You know,
well, I wasn't expecting a whole lot. And
yeah,
like, my worst fears about it, the sum of all my fears, was realized.
I would say, like, I don't know. I could see people watching this on Netflix and being like, "Oh, that was a movie." Like,
sure,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, not
again,
like
Branagh's direction is good, so it has a pace that's okay.
I've seen some people saying like, "Oh, you know, like this is a fucking like travesty of a movie," and I'm like, "Whatever."
No,
we get like a million of these movies a year. Like,
yeah, this is just forgettable. Don't worry about it. Action movie.
Totally. Don't worry about it. Action movie. Yeah. I don't want to watch a movie I'm worried about.
It says that on the poster. It's the don't worry about it action movie of the year.
Oh, I hate those ones I worry about. No, but you're, like it is like totally just like background movie.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
All right.
Anything else? What else? Is that about it?
I'm done talking about this.
We summed of all
thing.
Fears it
I've
up.
I've already forgotten about it. When I was sitting down in the theater, I was like, what did I come here to see? I got wrapped up in the trailers, and I'm like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
What am I watching? Oh, right. And then when we sat down here today, I'm like, shit,
what
movie
about?
Am I talking about? Yeah.
I can tell, understandable.
Out.
So speaking about Don't Worry About It action movies,
yeah,
Casey watched something on Netflix.
I did. I saw Killing Season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's this all about?
Well,
Robert De Niro,
beards and accents,
John Travolta.
Oh man, that is literally all it's about.
That was the working title.
Beards and accents.
Beards and apostrophe accents.
Beards and accents.
That's my favorite craft beer.
It's really good. It's an IPA. Basically, it's about De Niro's character was over in Serbia. And he was military guy. Mm-hmm. He and some of his other military gentlemen rounded up. There's a Serbian death squad called Scorpions, based off the band.
Just gonna ask.
They rounded them up and summarily execute them in Serbia for their horrible war crimes, which are fucking horrible and terrible. Everyone knows that. Serbia was a fucked up situation.
Yep.
So De Niro was the one who put a bullet in Travolta's character, but Travolta's character didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes to America to find him to get revenge. So back in America, De Niro is this recluse. You know, the war kind of fucked him up. And yeah. so he's this recluse who lives in a cabin by himself in the woods. He doesn't have much contact with his kid or his kid's family because he's all traumatized from the war. So the ensuing movie is basically just Travolta chases De Niro mm-hmm. and catches him.
Uh-huh.
And does some fucked up shit to him. De Niro escapes, and he hunts Travolta, and he catches him, and he does some fucked up shit to him. and then he escapes. And then I don't even remember who was fucking chasing who. It's basically that eight times.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole movie. That's the whole fucking movie. Yet I can't say it was a bad movie necessarily. It was boring. I didn't like it.
How are the accents?
Well, that's the crux of my review here. It's like the torture scenes are kind of inventive. At one point, Travolta strings up. Like he shoots an arrow. They're hunting each other with arrows, bows and arrows, which is weird, but kind of cool.
Sure.
So at one point Travolta shoots, De Niro through the leg with an arrow, creating a big hole that goes all the way through. And then when he finally catches him, he makes De Niro push this cable through his calf muscle and he strings him up by it.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
It's fucking intense. Cause I'm like, ha ha. That's got to be a fucking. Yeah. That's got to be a slight pain. So
just a bit.
So there's that, and then when De Niro catches Travolta, he puts an arrow through both of his cheeks and basically pins him to a fucking wall.
Damn.
And then he catches him and basically waterboards him with lemon juice and salt. So he's got these gaping wounds in his face, and he's just pouring fucking lemon juice and salt in them. Pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
So those are the only two things that are kind of like, all right, well, there's at least some fucked up shit that happens in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the real review of this movie is how hilarious John Travolta is.
I know. I can only assume from that trailer.
He is doing this general Eastern European, sometimes Russia, maybe sometimes Serbian. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really quite hilarious. Like, it sounds like something from Rocky and Bullwinkle. Mm-hmm. And... His hair and beard.
He's got like a painted on, like it looks like they just took a paint roller to his face.
It is no, not a paint roller. It was somebody with precision.
Yeah.
Somebody who really knows how to paint a beard. It is so distracting because it's not like they tried to texture it or anything. It just looks like they painted it on.
Yeah.
Because like they'll show the back of his head and it is dark black.
Yeah.
But it's one of those little Amish beards, but that's very, very well groomed.
Yeah.
So like
precise
it comes around.
Edged.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's no mustache
real edges
or anything.
So
it basically looked like they were trying to frame his face with black paint, like with like like grease paint.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
like Groucho Marx's mustache?
Kind of, yeah. Because they show the back of his head and it's very shiny. Like, it's not like there's hair there at all. It's just this very, very shiny black head that's framing Travolta's idiot face. It's really, really hilarious and distracting and... The end.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's such a tiny, thin little movie. And spoiler alert, at the end, they become friends because they realize that. Yeah. They become friends because,
after all that torture?
Yeah.
Are they just like chilling up in a tree or something? Like,
well, fucking De Niro catches, you know, America catches Serbia.
Okay.
And in their, you know, in their fucking benevolence, they decide, you know what? This war is over.
Yeah.
So they sit on a mountaintop and become friends.
Yeah, great.
Oh my god!
The end.
Jesus Christ!
I want to say that how crazy of a career this director / writer. He didn't write the movie, but he directed it, and he's also written some other movies. So, what's his name here? Mark Steven Johnson.
Yeah,
he wrote Grumpy Old Men.
Sure.
He got characters written by credit on Grumpier Old Men. Then he wrote Big Bully.
What's that?
That's with Tom Arnold.
Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Nope. And then he wrote and directed Simon Birch. He also directed Daredevil. He also wrote Michael Keaton Jack Frost film. He wrote and directed Daredevil.
What?
And then he directed When in Rome with Kristen Bell, and now this.
Oh.
What a fucking weird career.
I wonder if he wrote
all
that
garbage, basically.
Line in When in Rome. There's one line, and I don't think it's actually in
Did
the
you
movie.
See
oh,
when
it's
in Rome?
Yeah, it's not. I've only seen that pile of shit.
Yeah, it was only in the trailer. It was Dax Shepard. It's one of the best lines ever. He's supposed to be this big muscle bound douchebag. And he's like flexing, and he's like, "Somebody call a veterinarian because these puppies are sick."
He's looking at himself in the mirror, flexing. Yeah, great.
I like the poster.
That line is so funny, but yeah, not in the movie. Huh.
The poster for Ren in Rome, aka Kristen Bell, bites her pinky finger.
Oh yeah, Kristen Bell eats her hand.
Yeah. Next door to Dan sleeping on pancakes.
She keeps eating her hand. She's not going to be hungry for lunch.
No, no. All right.
References.
Well. Greg and I had to listen to an album because of Casey losing last week.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. We listened to R. Kelly's studio album,
yeah.
TP3 Reloaded.
Yep. I don't know what the TP's for. Toilet paper?
Yep. Yeah.
Toilet paper 3.
Yep. This album was number one on the Billboard 200 album chart when it came out.
It's notable for its inclusion of the
Trapped in the Closet song.
Yes, yeah. The first five chapters.
Yeah. Yes.
Of which I believe there are many more.
There are.
Yeah.
Up over 20.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
he just kept going with this thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to that.
I fucking hated listening to this album.
Yeah.
Because R. Kelly is a fucking, like, serial...
degenerate piece of shit.
Piece of shit. And I was just like, I fucking hated that I have to listen to this album by this horrible, horrible person.
Yeah, he's the worst.
I don't want to support him in any way.
Fucking hilarious, though.
Yeah.
It sounds like a parody. It's just like, I'm the whole time listening to it, I'm like... you can't do this.
Never have I heard so many.
What was that? It's in every song.
Yeah, Casey can do it. Yeah, I can't do it.
I can't do it either. I practiced before.
It's in every song.
I tried at home and I'm like, nope.
Is it him doing it?
Him just going like singing
and then going.
Yeah, here you go. That was a good one.
Yeah. It's
in all of his songs. Yeah. It's disgusting.
That's weird.
And every song is about banging everyone.
Oh yeah, that's to be expected.
In just a variety of ways, and in the clumsiest lyric. This is I think the worst lyrical album I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
Just, but none of
it's stupid.
Players only. Yep. Happy summertime.
Which is
happy summertime. What
word we can't say out loud?
Yeah, happy summertime. N words.
You shouldn't even be thinking.
That's how that starts. Yeah. Sex in the kitchen is pretty funny.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I really got, as outrageous as a lot of the stuff he says is, you get tired of it quick.
Yeah.
This
is a review of almost two different albums.
Yeah.
Because there's the general. How the album breaks down with like Sex in the Kitchen and Put My T-Shirt On, which is a weird song.
And Your
like,
Sex Gives
Put on
Me
this white T-Shirt of mine so I can fuck you in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck you in my T-Shirt.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then
fucking
your,
you in my T-Shirt.
Your sex is so good it gives me the munchies.
Weed
like
sex.
Sex weed. Your sex is so good it gives me the munchies. I want to eat it up or something.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? No.
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Till the morning. About what you would expect it to be about, having sex all night.
Yeah. And it goes for days and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, it's been 12 nights. I just want to... Sex in the Kitchen has this lyric chunk here that goes, walk around in your T-shirt, nothing else on, strutting past, switching that ass while I'm on the phone, cutting up tomatoes, fruits and vegetables and potatoes.
Yep. Girls, yep.
Girl, you look so sexy while you're doing the damn thing I want. Sex in the kitchen over by the stove. Put you on the counter by the buttered rolls. Hands on the table, on your tippy toes. We'll be making love like the restaurant was closed.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on, guys.
Buttered rolls doesn't even.
Like
buttered
think,
rolls doesn't even rhyme.
No,
it's like.
I don't know why I found that charming, but I did.
Yeah, it's. There is something to this. I mean, I listened to it and just read the lyrics the whole way through, which I highly recommend. If you're going to do this, that's what you do, because you will not believe what this man has written.
He's batshit insane.
He's totally crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, Sex Weed is pretty funny. All of them have every single song. I could read something from it, and you'd be like, whoa, "What'd you say in there?"
Pretty much.
It's all quite funny. But Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah.
I hadn't I was very aware of it. I've heard bits and pieces of it.
I remember I think I'd heard a lot of it when it came out. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I know eventually it like there start to become like you're not supposed to say midgets. That's but like there's like a whole cast of like there's a circus cast of characters.
Yeah. I guess that must be in later ones because this is just the first five chapters.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm more aware of parodies of this than anything.
Trapped in the drive-thru?
Oh, Trapped in the drive-thru. Yeah. Weird Al Yankovic is hilarious.
It's great.
So, okay. What happens? Now, this is just, it's the same beat for with every chapter.
Whoop.
With the whoop. And and there's no there's no melody to the singing.
No.
He's literally written this long story and just like sings parts of it at you like this and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Basically improv-y kind of.
Right, right.
I hate that.
Yeah. So here's the story of Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah.
He wakes up one morning and he's in a bed that isn't his own. And then a woman comes out that isn't his wife. And he's like, what did I do? And then she's like, hi, how are you this morning? He's like, I got to get out of here. She's like, no, oh, no, you can't because my husband's coming home. You got to hide in the closet. And he's like, I don't want to do that. I'll jump out the window. And he's just like, I live on the fifth floor. And he's like, shit, quick, put me in the closet.
He wasn't thinking.
Those are lyrics.
Hard.
Those are straight up lyrics out of this thing. So he's hiding in the closet. The guy comes home and everything's fine. He's going to start boning his wife. But then R. Kelly's cell phone starts ringing in his pocket, and he's like, oh, shit, I'm going to put it on vibrate. And but it's too late because the husband.
Yeah, I'd like you to sing parts of your review. Like,
yeah, oh, I will. Don't worry. And so he's like, oh, I hope I turned it off in time. But where is it? The husband jumps up and says, what does he say? There's a mystery and I'm going to solve it. I don't think that's what he said, but I don't think anyone says that. Anyway, so, and the guy finds him in the closet, but R. Kelly knows he's going to find him, so he pulls out his Beretta.
Yeah.
And that's how chapter one ends, is he opens the closet, they're looking at each other. And then, so the second chapter is, they're looking at each other, and he comes out and he's like, hey man, I'm sorry, she didn't say she was married, and the guy's freaking out and yelling at his wife and stuff like that. And R. Kelly is like, I don't want no part of this. I want to leave. And the guy's like, fuck you. And let's settle this like Christians. That comes up a couple of times. And
which is, I guess, why he got his gun out.
Yeah, yeah. And then the guy's like, well, you know, hold on. And the girl's like, I'm so sorry about this. And he's like, not as sorry as you're going to be. And then he picks up his phone. And he's like, baby, I want you to come back here right now. And he's like, oh, there's some. Now he's got somebody on the side too. Like, who could it be? And R. Kelly's like, who could it be? Who is this mystery bitch? And then, so, and R. Kelly's like, I want to get out of here. And they're like, no, wait, let's see who it is. And he's like, okay. And then someone comes in, and he's like,
I'm on board for that.
Yeah. And I've got my gun, and oh my God. And they open the door, and it was a man.
Yeah.
And so it turns out Rufus, who's the husband, is dating this guy, Chuck, on the side.
Sure.
So Chuck's there now, and R. Kelly's like, holy shit. And he's like, now it's all four of them standing there. And R. Kelly's like, this hasn't got nothing to do with me, but at the same time, I'm like, this is some deep shit. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Like, I'm still naked in the closet,
yeah.
But this shit just got real.
And then so he's like, he sings, I told him I was gonna leave. And then the girl is like, no, you should stay. And he's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, but don't you want to know how it all began? And he's like, all right, I'll give you 3 minutes. And so they don't tell her how it began. They just yell at each other for a while. And then R. Kelly is finally like, I'm out, because he calls home and a man answers the phone. Doom, doom. And that ends part three.
Oh, so he's got, so R. Kelly's got a wife at home, ostensibly, and there's somebody trapped in his closet?
Apparently.
Oh,
and so
no.
He's driving home, and he gets pulled over by the cops because he's speeding, and the cop is like giving him shit, and he's like, I got to go home. I got an emergency.
There might be someone in my closet.
Yeah. So then the cop finally lets him go. And then he gets home, and his wife's there, and they yell at each other, and they're singing, yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know what you did last night. And he's like, oh, shit. And and then the whole thing wraps up with where like they're yelling, and she's like, the big reveal is, she's like, do you know my friend Lisa? And he's like, I guess so. That sounds familiar. It's like, how about my friend Roxanne? I'm like, I guess so. Who's Roxanne? And she's like, well, she introduced me to this guy named Chuck, who's been dating this guy Rufus. And they introduced me to the guy who was here, who was the cop who stopped you on your way here. The end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Chuck?
Chuck?
The cop?
I don't know. No. Some other guy. Chuck introduced R. Kelly's girl to the cop who stopped R. Kelly on his way home to find out who was banging his wife, and it was the cop.
Yeah.
You have to be on
this, seriously, this is that's the story.
You have to be on a lot of drugs to think that that's clever.
Yeah.
Because it's just putting a lot of characters together like coincidentally and going, "Oh yeah, they all know each other, by the way."
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Yeah. So I was stunned.
It's almost as if he is a guy who serially sexually assaults women and then is also really popular and had tons of money that nobody wanted to say no to.
Yeah.
That's almost it's almost as if that.
it's exactly that, Dan, and you know it.
I was just My face almost fell off. I was so shocked at what I was listening to the first time. Like, what? And then it ends like that. It ends with, like, the cop who stopped you? Done.
Yeah.
And so now I've listened to this thing a number of times because I was like, well, I don't think I absorbed that. That was too much. But now I kind of love it. I'm at that point where I'm fascinated by this thing. It is so insane. But I will give it credit, entirely unique. I've never heard anything like this on any album anywhere.
No, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever made a two-hour album of themselves taking a shit.
Glad someone decided to do this.
And that it was somebody as fucking insane as
totally
R. Kelly.
Totally insane as R. Kelly. Well, on this whole album of like, he sings all these different ways that he's going to fucking bang you. And then, and this story.
And then he's like, but if I do, this is what might happen. FYI.
Your life might get turned upside down.
From the club.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm happy. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I hate R. Kelly. I'm never going to.
Just the worst.
I don't like
but,
him. I'm never going to listen to his music unless forced upon on a podcast.
I didn't watch the video form of this. There's a whole
suite of
videos.
You
probably
find that.
But once in your life, you should experience Trapped in the Closet, because parts 1-5.
Yeah.
On subsequent albums, he's continued this story. Yeah. I don't know how much it stays with these characters with
Chuck
and Rufus.
I just think it adds to them. I think it becomes, like, again,
it goes on
like
on,
there
yeah.
are, there are, it becomes so much wackier, apparently.
Right, right. I'm going to listen to the rest of it.
Yeah.
I have to now.
Yeah.
This is totally insane.
Well, what I wanted to do, I couldn't find any sort of instance of it all being together, like, which you would think that as a marketing ploy they would have totally
done. I think there was
like
a DVD or something.
Oh, that's what it should have made you guys do. But
that's not an album.
No,
so you couldn't.
True. You're right.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Holy fuck. Sorry. Thank you. You know what? This was a terrible listening experience, but I'm glad that this is the album that you gave us because it was so fucking fascinating.
Yeah, super wacky.
Just totally crazy. One of the weirdest listening experiences I have ever had. Right. Ever. Sex weed?
Well, now what are you going to make us listen to? Yeah.
Well, because Killing Season wasn't that... it was not bad. It wasn't good, but it was not bad. I'm actually going to give you guys an album that I don't think is going to be bad. I think it's probably going to be very, very good. But I don't have a lot of experience with this... with this fella, and I want to... I want to listen along as well. I'm giving you the 2013 release from Childish Gambino.
Okay.
Which is Donald Glover's hip-hop project.
Yeah.
The album is called Because the Internet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's at least going to be something to talk about there because he's such a fucking hilarious and fascinating person.
Yeah, absolutely. I always liked him in Mystery Team and on Community and stuff, and he's had a couple songs that I've liked, but I haven't listened to this album in any length. I've touched a couple songs on RDO.
Sure.
Right.
But I haven't really gone for much of his rap output.
Right, right. And I'd like to see as an album what he can do.
I feel like this was a very high-minded project. I think he put out a book and a website, or he released it in conjunction with all these other things where you had to buy the book and read along as you listened or something.
Right.
So I think it has a lot of interludes and skits and stuff.
Okay, so you guys are gonna buy the book.
So
let's see what happens there.
Yeah,
okay,
I'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
all right.
Shall we roll?
We shall roll.
What are we rolling for this week? I know the loser. The big release this week is going to be the loser.
Yeah, because it looks so stupid.
Because Aaron Eckhart starring in I, Frankenstein.
It's like the producers are like, you know what? Kids are sick of sexy vampires and sexy werewolves. You know what else is sexy? Frankenstein. Frankenstein's pretty sexy, right?
Yeah.
Like, they Frankenstein's sexy.
They did a sketch on Saturday Night Live that was like sexy Frankenstein's a la Twilight. So now they've just didn't understand the irony of that.
And, you know, it's like Universal Horror meets like Underworld fucking flippy dippy in the air shit.
I know it's gonna be total bullshit, but there is a small part of me that wants to see this.
Wow. I don't want to see this.
I saw one of the Underworld movies and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've seen
all of them. I think I saw the first one, so I'm done.
Suck.
They suck so bad and they're boring.
That's the thing. They aren't even fun bad.
They're just blue and boring.
They're so blue.
So blue. Dabba dee dabba doo.
I want to see if this one's just green and boring. Because I feel like it will be.
What is going on with Aaron Eckhart's career?
I know.
It seemed like he was on like a total, like, boom, he's going to be a big star at night, blah, 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 and then just like, nah.
Yeah.
Some crappy action movies.
Battle Los Angeles.
Frankenstein.
Olympus Has Fallen, I guess.
By the way, did you guys hear R. Kelly does the theme song, Sexy Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Where he fucks Frankenstein in the kitchen.
Oh, God.
And so the winner, not a lot being released this week. But we are doing a contest that just ended for The Past, the Iranian film.
Oscar-nominated.
It's getting, like, crazy reviews on Metacritic. So we're going to pick that.
The Past.
Yeah, The Past. So looks pretty good. Should be an Oscar contender for next year.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yeah, so we're going to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Wicked. Yeah. Casey?
Here we go.
Shall we?
What you got? Got Sexy Frankenstein.
Two.
You got a two? What the fuck?
Not very sexy.
How does this
Frankenstein
happen? Somebody get a one.
I rolled a three.
Three.
Fuck.
I didn't want to see
Sexy Frankenstein. Not
six.
Man, a six.
Yeah.
Casey.
What's up, Sexy Frankenstein?
I'm officially on a streak.
Yeah, that's three in a row.
There you go.
That's how this shit works.
I've been on, you know what? I've been on a streak for a while.
Yeah.
A good streak.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Keep talking shit, Gorman.
I know.
Yeah.
It'll come around and bite me in the ass.
Keep talking shit till Nicholas Sparks put out another movie.
I know.
Movie.
Yeah, and then I'll end up having
this
to
is
that.
January. This isn't a time to be
on a good streak.
Proud of your wins.
I know.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's just going to get good, and that's when you start losing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
Well... Let's get into what are we doing next? We're not doing Airwolf.
No, we have a little. We're taking a break from Airwolf this week because I didn't have a chance to watch very much.
We had some Following Corner today.
Yeah.
You got your.
Yeah, I got a little, that was the TV I watched this week. Following the Fall.
Yeah.
So some good,
some
bad.
It's not important what you watch as long as you watch something and tell people
and tell
about
us about it.
Where are we here? Breakfast Swap Cage Match Cereal Fights.
every week we've been pitting some cereal mascots from the front of your cereal box to a fight to the death in Thunderdome, as we did with the Action Heroes for the past year ago, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so who's fighting this week?
This is a difficult matchup here. Hard to determine the winner.
Yeah.
It might shift the... outcome of this whole thing.
It could.
Got a couple of heavy contenders here. Captain Crunch, a.k.a. Commander Crunch.
Yeah. We know who
we
you
know.
Are.
We've seen your stripes, buddy, you fucking liar.
You liar.
He's going up against Sonny the Cuckoo Bird. He's Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and Murder.
Yeah. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, Cuckooer for Murder.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Who's got that dice?
I got it.
Give me that fucking dice.
Greg's going to roll
to see
what weapons they have.
Yep, because they are in Thunderdome. They do get the weapons that were featured in the film Thunderdome. However, we have added a bowl and spoon because, well, it's about cereal.
Yep.
All right.
Because
Commander
we're
Crunch
clever.
Gets, what do we got? Two. He's got
the whistle.
All right.
Good. Liar. So, like, anti-Captain Crunch right now.
Yeah,
it's not. It's the guy who drew him. It's not his fault.
Hey,
he
could have stepped up
way.
And said, "I haven't earned these.
Yeah.
I haven't earned this title. Look at this.
That's he needed the pension.
Yeah, he's taking it. All right. And Sonny the Cuckoo Bird
I like what
has
you've done here.
Five. He's got the spear with the blade on the end.
All right.
Yeah,
I got the images up on the screen if you need them. side by side.
Just a couple of happy fellows.
Yep. They're really
about
happy.
To fight to the
Although Sonny the Cuckoo,
he's already sweating. Yeah. He is just sweating with murder.
Sonny the Cuckoo Bird has like sweat beads on his forehead for some reason. This looks like an official image.
Well,
I don't know.
Junkie.
He's like,
he is the most crazy junkie.
He's scratching his arm like he needs a needle in it.
He's got bugs under his skin.
He's
got delicious
horse.
Marshmallow bugs under his skin.
Sonny the Cuckoo Bird is unquestionably the unpredictable dark horse of this whole thing. He is junky crazy.
Commander Crunch's eyes, though, are crossed like he has a little bit of crazy in him, too.
Or he's a dummy.
He's like, how am I on this box of Crunch Berries and standing here at the same time?
Oh, are those Crunch Berries he's holding?
Yeah.
Those are delicious.
Okay, now this photo of him holding a box of Crunch Berries, isn't that weird to him? Like,
do you weird out when you hold a picture of yourself?
Yes.
Do you ever weird out when you hold a box of Dan Gorman cereal?
Yeah, Dan Gormanos.
Dan Gormanos?
Yeah. Where can I find the Burnzos?
Oh, man, I so badly want to merchandise Dan Gormanos.
we'll sell some, we'll start an Etsy store. We'll sell little slips that you can put over your box of cereal with me on them. Right.
Gormanos.
Gormanos.
Delicious.
He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know where he is right now.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's just a picture of me being like, who am I on the cover?
Guys, I'm fully checked out right now. I am fully going over the logistics of this cereal in my mind.
I don't know.
Do the little O's wear little glasses?
I don't know. It seems seems weird to me that he's fucking got his own visage on this fucking box of Crunch Berries.
I thought Crunch Berries were something else. I didn't know they were Captain Crunch.
Yeah. They were like a spinoff because people liked them so much because they were in Captain Crunch. Yeah. They spun them off to their own box of cereal where it was just Crunch Berries.
Right.
I'm an adult, and I know this information. So,
all right,
they're in Thunderdome.
How is this going to go down?
What's going
Cuckoo
down?
Cuckoo Bird's got a spear with a blade on the end. The captain's got a whistle and shady credentials.
Yes.
Yeah. He doesn't have his scabbard, though,
we don't know what kind of background he's got.
Though he's drawn with it. He doesn't have his sword. He's drawn with it.
No,
sometimes
no.
drawn with it.
I don't see it in this picture, so no. All he's got that fucking whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And his little tassel on the top of his hat.
I feel like the whistle is going to be to his detriment if he uses it. I feel like it's going to just piss the fucking junkie off. Like,
loud
stop
noises.
All this racket!
Yeah, like high trebly.
He is not.
Do you think he tries
that.
To use it? Do you think he goes like
you think he's
going to
check it out? Like, I'm in here with just this whistle. Is it good for anything?
Yeah.
No, it's the worst idea.
Maybe he thinks it'll confuse him, like if he blows the whistle real loud right off the top.
Maybe he's so good with the whistle that he can do like bird calls with it and shit.
Oh my, interesting.
So he does like like
so
a confusing
he
bird.
Calls the crazy bird over with the spear.
No, he like makes a like a sexy cuckoo bird sound.
Oh, so cuckoo bird will rape him first.
That is where I'm going with that, sir. Thank you for picking
or
it up.
Or maybe they'll make love and fall in love.
Yeah. And stop all this crazy fight.
Stop all this fighting, babe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could he do like a really, could he like blow in it super hard so that's a real high pitched thing to like make him go like, like unable to move?
Sure, but I feel unable to move.
Disoriented at least.
Sure.
But then what's he going to do?
Okay, you know what?
Impress him with his commander power.
He's just been handed this whistle, so I don't think he has expert knowledge on how to use it. So I say we roll the dice to see whether the whistle is
maybe
disorienting to Sonny the Cuckoo Bird or erotic and makes him want to have sex with him.
Can he call in an airstrike with it?
Huh?
Can he call in an airstrike with it?
Yeah, he is a commander.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They're inside that damn Thunderdome.
You can't get the Air Force in
there. Okay, so 1 to 3, it paralyzes the bird temporarily with headachy pain.
Yeah. Okay.
4 to 6.
4 to 6, it makes
turns
him
into
fuck
a sex
him.
Maniac. What do we got here? We got a 5. That's a sex maniac bird with
a
spear.
Both options, I might add, detrimental to Commander Crunch.
Yeah, it doesn't make it better for him.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to use the damn thing. Let's find out. Well, I mean, if it was going to paralyze the bird, it might get him a chance to run in there and punch him in the face.
Yeah, right. But
unfortunately,
now it just draws him closer.
Just gave him a
cuckoo boner.
Okay, so what happens now? He just starts humping the Commander Crunch.
I'm cuckoo for your creamy thighs.
Ew.
Yeah, gross. I grossed myself out a little. So, yeah, okay, so the bird starts raping the military.
Attempting to. Trying to get
He just wants to, you know, do what's natural.
Yeah, yeah, he's just trying to get
rid of picture a lot of, like, he's, like, flapping around, like,
yeah,
you know.
A lot of, he'll do like that, like birds do when they're, you know, like the whole... peacocky, like, kind of like show off their
strut
with their feathers and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. So he starts. That's what he starts doing is a sexy dance.
And to which I'm going to assume Captain / Commander Crunch is going to be like, "All right, now this I fucked up.
This
no,
he was going to attack. No, I feel like, but then he's like, "Damn, girl,
damn, Sonny
Bird damn, is impressively
Sonny's...
erotic."
Well, I feel like if Sonny's doing a dance,
Bird is much more erotic than I thought he'd be.
If he's doing a dance, I feel like it's a signal to Captain Crunch that he knows, like, you know, it's not like an attack. He's going to be like, "Okay, I fucked up. Now I need to figure out what to do before this happens."
Right.
Like, he's not, you know,
before the sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, because he's got to make a move. He's, you know, he's got to keep, because if he rejects the bird's sexual dance advance,
so are you
might anger him.
Are you purporting he goes along with it?
Yeah, you know what he does. So, like, the
lure him in close.
Yeah.
So cuckoo bird's doing a sexy dance, singing sexual healing, and so, yeah, Commander Crunch starts kind of inching closer so that the bird gets kind of like a false hope. Like,
right.
Yeah, we're doing this thing.
Okay.
So he gets close enough to attack, and I think he does.
Sure.
How does he attack?
Well, he's got just fisty fights.
Yeah, that's all he's got.
Yeah.
Fisty fights and punchy punches.
Yep.
That's all he's got. So, okay, so he gives him a strong slap in the face.
Okay.
Which I guess breaks
the sexual
bird.
Spell. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And now he's just cuckoo for
And now he's mad because he's embarrassed too.
Right. And crazy. And a junkie. And a bird.
Yep.
With a spear.
Yep.
Yeah. So
he's broken the spell, and now what? He's just gonna fucking get killed by Sonny the Cuckoo?
Well, Sonny the Cuckoo Bird does still have the spear. Has he been holding the spear the whole time? Has he been incorporating it into the
I think he's worked it into the dance.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the time.
So now he's a crazy bird that's been slapped out
with
of his
balls.
Sexual fever that he's now just really angry about it.
And he's like, now I'm not even going to get to make love.
So now he's
this.
Just going
to
smack him in the head with the fucking...
with the spear?
With the spear, like, until he dies.
Yeah, you think a bludgeoning?
Well, I see. He's going to go crazy. I feel like there's no way to slap him out of this without him just freaking out and going fucking wild on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, but I mean, like, with the spear, because it's got a pointy end, right? Like, so he could, like, run him through with it, or he could, like, slit his throat or something.
Yeah.
You see it as a, well, because he's crazy,
he's
right?
He's just freaking out. I don't feel like he has the accuracy in a post-sexual,
his post-coitus.
His post-almost coitus haze.
Oh, yeah.
Right. All right. So, yeah. So then he just bludgeons Captain Crunch to death.
Well, goodness.
I'm not going to say what happens after that, because that's best.
Yeah, he's a little worked up. Who knows what happens with that corpse?
Yeah.
I
don't want to know.
I'll go with this. Yeah, I thought Captain Crunch might go far.
Yeah.
Until we've all found out he was a sham.
That's a problem. Yeah, let that be known to you. If you fucking lie about who you are, you fucking...
Commander, Captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't try
just
and pull the wool over
you
the eyes of all your friends.
Also,
in terms
be
of...
careful if you decide to sexually entice a crazy junkie bird.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My parents taught me that when I was young.
Well, I'm never going to try it again. Because I've been trying and...
trying.
Yeah. All right.
All right,
Sonny
well...
the cuckoo bird will go on.
Yep.
Let me just make a note of that.
Make a note.
My grown-up's phone.
Yeah.
The
and my very adult iPhone that has this kind of thing written down in it.
Yeah. Let me see.
If somebody ever stumbles upon your phone and just happens to open it up, the notes are open. Like, what is he?
Oh, my God. What happened to this 12-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay. Next week, we've got the Mini Wheats guy.
Mini Wheats.
Wait.
Going up against the Fruit Brute.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right.
Fruit. That's going to be interesting.
That's a fruit-themed werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, versus a little wispy wheat gentleman.
With the tasty one tasty side.
With one tasty side.
Yeah.
Only one.
And one bland, boring side.
And that will be a final fight of round two.
Sweet.
Out of sight.
Awesome. Yeah.
Interesting.
Wicked. Anything else to get in?
No. I think that's about it.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think so.
You can find all of our stuff online at See You Next Wednesday. Sorry, at facebook.com/synwpc. I almost forgot my spiel. And you can find us on Twitter at synwpc as well. Or you can go to Modern Superior, read Casey's Flesh Plus Blood review of the Verhoeven film.
Yeah, and I'm going to do Business is Business. I'll have that up there ASAP.
Wicked, yeah. Lots of stuff up there.
Mm.
Sweet. Yep. And I'm going to be on Rewatchability this week.
Yes. Are you allowed to say what you'll be watching?
Sure. I got invited to do Rewatchability, and they threw me a curveball. They were like, just name three movies, and we'll pick one. And I was like, So I named a couple, and they picked Event Horizon.
Awesome.
Yeah. Right.
So that'll
that
be up
movie a lot.
Soon, yeah. I think by the time this comes up, it'll be the next day or two.
Excellent.
Yeah. Fuck yes. That'll that movie is awesome.
I really like
bonkers.
It. I am excited to possibly defend it because I feel like it's a good movie.
It is.
Too. It's super enjoyable.
Yeah.
And Sam Neill's
gory is all hell.
Yeah, there's some gross shit in it.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
It has problems, but whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, so look for that. And then in the meantime, as I said, modernspirit.com, you can listen to Drink Along, Faculty of Horror have a new one coming soon, and Time Bandits with Matt Brown from Mammo's up there.
Yep. Yeah.
So do that up.
Yeah.
All the shows. Yeah. Wicked. See you next Wednesday. Fuck Gene.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.